Scott Sanders, the Executive Director of the Geneva Push.
And I'm Derek Hanna, Catholic Church Planting Network leader today, Scott.
Well, the feedback from the last episode was just unhelpful, I thought. Welcome to The One Thing, a podcast designed to give you one solid practical tip for Gospel Centre ministry every week. The One Thing's brought to you with thanks to Geneva Push, the Australian Church Planting Network. And you've pressed play on episode 3, Church Signposts.
Okay, the world needs Jesus and no one is disagreeing. That's just a motherhood statement for Christians. And they need signposts to him. So today I want to ask, where are the signposts for your church pointing? And are you being deliberate about them?
I'm looking forward to today's episode because I reckon we're going to get a good rant out of Derek. We're going to be talking about signposts as part of a three-part conversation with Derek around the three key areas for your church: signposts, pathways, and ecosystems. Today we're going to talk about the signposts a church needs, but we need to get a little bit of context for this conversation first. So can you give us an overview of these three key areas?
Yeah, look, when you're leading a church, there's a huge amount of moving parts. There's lots to juggle, lots of competing opinions about what you should do, lots of movement, but not always necessarily the movement in the way you want to move, that is, making disciples, that direction. We want to ask the question, what does it look like to lead a local church on mission that's growing in ever-increasing maturity? What does it actually look like? So all I'm doing with these three things is I'm just identifying three key areas that we need to consider: signposts, pathways, and ecosystems. That is, how do people find you? How do they join you? And what happens once they do?
So signposts are, how do people find you?
Yep.
Pathways are, how do they join you? And ecosystems are, well, what happens once they join you?
That's it. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, it's not, this is not rocket science. But as we see as we go through, often we know these things, but it's hard to implement. So all I'm saying is, first, how is it I conceptualize what the Bible describes? What's a helpful way to pragmatically implement my theological principles in a way that reflects our missional convictions that we spoke about a couple of episodes ago? Second, the terminology is really important because it shapes how we approach things and how we see things. If something is for those not in your church, those outside, you will run it differently than if it's for those inside your church. That's obvious, but because we don't often articulate it, we don't have the terminology to classify what we're doing, we end up running things which are confusing and which just default to what we know best or what we feel comfortable in, not necessarily what is best for the audience we're trying to reach. So I'm just trying to say, given my theological principles, here are three big areas where we need to think what the pragmatics look like. That's all it is.
Okay, well, let's start at signposts then. What do you mean by that?
All right, look, I think everyone is searching for meaning, contentment, security, purpose. They're walking through life, kind of latching onto whatever will bring them meaning or existence because, you know, walked away from God, the ultimate meaning. Some people are more articulate about it, some aren't, but even in a comfortable society like ours, everyone is searching for meaning. So as Christians, we know that the things that people are seeking aren't necessarily bad, but they're not the ultimate good. What they need is the one who created them, who redeems them, who's recreating people in his image, Jesus. No one's going to disagree, I don't think, with anything I've said so far. So what we're trying to do as the gathered people of God in our local churches to the world and the community around us is this: when we put out these signposts, we're saying to them, we love you because we know what it's like to be loved by God. We understand your struggles because we are struggling with the same things. We're in a broken world too. And we would love you to know the person who can help us, that has helped us and does help us grapple with these things, not in a band-aid solution, but with this cutting-edge heart surgery that he does. So signposts are just those things that we do as the people of God in the context that we live to connect with and love people so that we can introduce them to Jesus. That's all it is.
Well, I'm a bit of a simple bloke, so can you give me some concrete examples of this?
Never was a truer word spoken. Never was a truer word spoken. All right, so look, it's going to look different in each church. There's different categories that fall into. These signposts can look like lots of things. It can be marketing stuff, letterbox drops, social media campaigns, newspaper ads, billboards. That's kind of sweeping, impersonal at some point, signposts. It just raise the temperature.
Yeah, as I say, you want to be the church that people know they don't go to.
Yeah,
and that's often the the case. A lot of you just don't know a church exists.
Yep, absolutely.
So your website's really important.
Yep.
Even the regular letterbox drop. Yep,
absolutely. So how you present yourself and those things are hugely important.
I'm thinking Comic Sans.
Yes, absolutely. Comic Sans and Papyrus, the two fonts you should always use. That's right, yep.
What else could you be doing?
All right, often we run community groups or services that you run to serve and connect with people, community play groups, working bees at local school, possibly a kids club you run, those ways in which you might connect with your community, things that happen in community.
In new growth areas, more and more they're putting community liaison offices.
Yeah, right.
And I'm finding more and more that, you know, it's the churches that are able to really connect in with those new growth, you know, area positions where people are looking for community and they're selling that. That a church planner or a church leader can actually get, you know, engaged and involved in.
Yeah, so you don't need to start stuff yourself. You can, if there's something running in the community, go and join it. But if there's nothing there and you want to start it, then you need to be very, very deliberate about it. Even if it's things like, you know, food vans, financial advice services, these are kind of signposts that are out there, as well as that drip feeding things where individuals from your church are existing. But if you have those signposts in the community, you have to be asking the question, where are they pointing? It's the beginning of a conversation, calling them signposts, understand. That's just the beginning of the conversation.
Now, I just want to pause you for a second there. One of the things we want to do each week is give you some resources. It's only our third episode, and it's already Institution. The Toolbox, if you've had your appetite whetted by Derek's introduction to signposts, then you're going to want to find out more. Let me just give you my top three must-have resources for thinking through your signposts. One of them is a really good book, Simple Church by Tom Rayner and Eric Geiger. It's an excellent book. Helpfully, it lays out sort of four key things that you want to be thinking about. You want to be thinking about clarity, movement, alignment, and focus as you think about pathways, ecosystems, and signposts.
Yep.
The next thing is the Grey Matrix. Greymatrix.org, thegreymatrix.org. Check the show notes below. Got really helpful thoughts on connecting with your community. And finally, Rory Shiner on culture. See the show notes. Rory's done a few recent talks for us, and so we'll put them in the show notes. Excellent thinker into Australian culture and how that's been changing. He's been doing some great research and great thinking. He's a church planter, church leader from Western Australia.
The thing that's great about Rory, if you can buy him and just keep him on the shelf and pull him out when you, the great thing about Rory is not only his content, but the way in which he presents, the language he uses, the way in which he articulates arguments is just so incredibly helpful to watch. Like Sam Chan, actually, they're very good.
Okay, Derek, I want to bring us back to talking about signposts. Now, one of the things that you left us there with was talking about signposts, you know, as the beginning of a conversation. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, look, there's two challenges in this area I think we have. The first is that sometimes our signposts are ambiguous. Our signposts are ambiguous. It's church events that are run in the community rather than events run by the church for the community to connect with them, love them, and point them towards Jesus. So, you know, here, the classic example, you run an evangelistic night that is meant to connect with people, or just even a men's night where you're meant to connect with people and introduce people who aren't Christians to the Christian community and get them, you know, that belonging before believing idea. What do you do? Do you have an evangelistic night, a talk? Do you pray at it? Do you mention church on Sunday? And if you don't do any of those things, you get the
well, you're a complete heretic.
You are a complete heretic.
In fact, this is not even a church event.
That's right. Aren't we a church? Shouldn't we have to? We do all those things? And the problem there is if you don't know how to locate something, what is this event meant to do? What is the purpose of it? Then you end up getting this ineffective hybrid where you just, again, default to the things that you think you're supposed to do instead of being intentional. So we run events. The language you use on and around advertising, even when we put them in flyers, then all these things, just if we aren't clear about what we're trying to do, then we put it out in the community, but it's actually really just for us. These are ambiguous signposts where people who aren't Christians outside the church look at the signpost and cannot read it. That's the first problem. Here's the second one, that our signposts are often more like shrines. So that is, they're just, you know, they're there, people can see them, but they aren't sure what to do with them. They don't know where they're pointing. It's what we do might be great for anyone attending, impossible for them to know what exactly it was for and who was doing it. So you have amazing carol service at Christmas. The music is fantastic. The kids' program is great. You sing, I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus, as well as all the classic great hymns, just so we're contextual. But anyone could have run that. There's no indication at all about who ran it, why they ran it, and what it was for. Great the people had a good time. But have you built any awareness of who you are and how it is it those people that God is pricking the consciences of and saying, that want to seek more out? How is it that they know that this carol's is connected to a place where they could do that? So all I'm saying is that if you're going to love not only people who are in your church, the people who are outside your church need to have a clear next step, not the final step. I'm not saying, at every event, do two ways to live. I'm saying not the final step, but just the next step. Are you doing that?
So, Derek, it feels like you're walking a bit of a tightrope here. You can easily fall one way or the other. And I can feel that you've been at those events. I can feel that you've had some experience of this as well. It's not just what you heard, but I can feel like you've been at those carols events where things just haven't been quite so clear. Or you've been to that evangelistic talk and you've just gone, oh, if only they did, this
yep.
or that.
Yep.
How do you negotiate that?
Here's three practical things. Can I say the Engel scale, if you look that up, it's like the Grey Matrix. You'll see it, the Grey Matrix, great 1980s website, fantastic. Very Stranger Things like feel to it.
Now, this Engel scale comes from the Billy Graham Crusade, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's not something that's new.
No, it's not.
That's just how old Derek is, guys. That's
how old exactly
he is.
Right. In fact, I was Billy Graham's
59!
No, so the Engel scale, you've got to translate it for the modern day, but it's just helpful to say, okay, how would I move people along? Here are the three things. First, consider the four stages of people's engagement. So they're not four stages. It's not scientific. It's just how I think. So, people are either aware, engaged, connected, or committed. Aware, engaged, connected, or committed. And what you're thinking when you put out these signposts is, where does this signpost sit within that? And therefore, how does that shape how it should look? And so if you're going to run an event, for example, that is get to know you, or even an evangelistic night that is meant for the very pre-evangelism, very low key, when people walk in the door, you don't slap a massive name tag on them, because that's a nerdy church thing to do. You might in your context do it, but can I say, you've got to think through whether you should do that. You've got to consider where people are at, what this is for. Okay, here's the second thing. Consider how to move people to the next stage, not the final stage. The next stage, not the final stage. Now, it helps to consider where people are at so you can consider the next step for people from that point. So sometimes that's just about raising awareness for people that you're there. So you said before, the church that they don't go to, as long as that might be the first step. Sometimes it's trying to help people who are engaged with you. They might come to a play group. Know what the next step is in making a connection with your whole church community. Maybe it's coming to the carols event. Maybe that's the next step, more exposure. And sometimes it's about just giving people who are connected a few more connection points to getting there.
So what's the third thing?
All right, here's the third thing, is that your communication really matters. Your language matters hugely. The language you use to talk about and talk to people is just massive. But it's not just limited to that. There are certain terms and words we might use in our inner circles that sound bizarre in the world. And if we start pushing it out into events, those terms and the way we think out into those events, it is just an automatic turn off for people, an automatic filter right there. So the further you go out from the center of your concentric circles, the further out you go from those committed to your mission, and the more aware you need to be of how your signposts are going to be understood and interpreted by others. Not watering down the message, just understood by others. You need to be very, very aware of that.
So in Sunday, in the context of closer relationships, you might get away with using certain terms like gospel and worship.
Yep, absolutely. But no one outside our church context knows what those are, so we just got to be careful.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show. So, Derek, what's the one thing people should be taking away when it comes to signposts?
Yeah, look, the world needs Jesus, and they need signposts to him. Be deliberate in making sure that your church's signposts point in that direction.
Well, if you want to dig back into this episode and all the other episodes of The One Thing, yes, we know there are only two at this stage, plus all the links to the resources and the show notes, head on over to genevapush.com/The One Thing. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The One Thing. Coming up in our next episode,
So they've found their way to church. What next?
In our next episode, Derek's going to take a look at pathways. What pathways does a church have to have in place if they're going to help new contexts join and integrate into the life of the church? I'm Scott Sanders.
I'm Derek Hanna.
Chat soon.